We see that the stage is now set for a dramatic military confrontation in the area of Palestine. We have viewed the two witnesses who, for this whole 3.5 year period since the Antichrist has established himself in the temple, which is, as the scripture describes, the abomination that maketh desolate, standing in the holy place. This is the Antichrist establishing himself in the temple as God. And the two witnesses appear in the streets of Jerusalem in front of the temple and begin to proclaim to the people that this indeed is not God, that God still lives in the heavenlies and controls all things. And as a demonstration of what they're saying, they begin to announce to the people that they are controlling things, just like Moses and Aaron begins to announce to the Pharaoh what was going to happen next. And so all of the vial judgments, V-I-A-L, vial judgments, and all of the trumpet judgments that we see in chapters 8 and 9 and chapters 15 and 16 are being controlled by these two witnesses. And if you read them, there's some horrendous things. I mean, meteors falling and mountains falling into the sea and the sea turning to blood. And I mean, great numbers of people being killed. And the people in the world still won't repent. As a matter of fact, they're getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And we read before that many attempts will be made on their lives. But every time somebody comes or tries to do something to them, fire comes out of their mouth and consumes this person, walking flamethrowers. And so nobody can kill them. They have been the instruments of God in causing plagues and earthquakes and falling heavenly bodies, scorching heat, economic disaster on the planet. And the Euphrates River has dried up. And a 200 million man army from the east is on a forced march towards Palestine, destroying everything in its path. So certainly the predictions of Jesus in Matthew, the 24th chapter, are a realization. And those predictions are, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. So the armies of the Antichrist and the Western Alliance are in and around Jerusalem, where Antichrist has made his headquarters. And the contest for the control of the planet is at hand. I want you to turn to Revelation 11. Hallelujah. It is now 4 days before the end of the 7 year period. And in verse number 7, speaking of the two witnesses, all of this is being viewed by satellites simultaneously all around the world. So the billions of people on the earth's surface are witnessing these events simultaneously. And now we have come to a point where God has determined that the ministry of the two witnesses is at an end. And in verse number 7, it says, now when they have finished, I'm reading out of the New International, follow me, verse 7, chapter 11. Now when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss, who is the devil himself, will attack them and overpower and kill them. Their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Where was their Lord crucified? In Jerusalem, so we know this is where they are, right? For 3.5 days, men from every people, every tribe, every language and nation will gaze on their bodies. You know how they put people in state? Like a great president or somebody has died and people by the thousands file by to see them. They're going to leave these two bodies in the street in Jerusalem in front of the temple. And people from all over the world for 3.5 days will come to view the bodies of these two men that controlled all these plagues and brought such hell on them. And they're going to rejoice and begin to send gifts to each other like they used to do at Christmas time. Only now there won't be any Christmas anymore, and all they'll have is a winter wonderland holiday. So the people in the world won't be worshiping Christ anymore. They will have forgotten about Christmas, and they'll just have their winter holiday. But when this happens, it says, the inhabitants, verse 10, the inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by sending each other gifts, because these two prophets had tormented those who live on the earth. Verse 11. But after the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God enters into them, and they stand up on their feet in front of the thousands, in front of the millions, on satellite TV, instantaneously around the whole world. They get on up and stand so everybody can see them. And just like when Jesus was ascending into heaven and the 12 stood and watched him go, these two will not disappear from sight, but they'll begin to ascend up into the air. The two of them together, right in front of everybody's face. Hallelujah. But after the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. And then they heard. And then the ones that killed them heard. And then the people heard. And then the folks on satellite TV heard. And what did they hear? They heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. Come up hither. And it wasn't in the spirit, because everybody heard it. Hallelujah. It wasn't a dimension that nobody knew about, because everybody heard it. Everybody was watching. Everybody was looking. And as they rose up, the people could see God sitting on his throne saying, come up hither. Glory to God. And just like Jesus had risen up out of their sight, the two witnesses go rising up, slowly ascending in a cloud into the air. Hallelujah. So much for the bad devil. So much for the beast that rises out of the abyss. So much for him. Hallelujah. Now everybody realizes the only reason why they were allowed to be killed was for the glory of God, so everybody could see the resurrection. The only reason Lazarus died was so that Jesus could come and everybody could see the resurrection. The only reason that Jesus died, aside from having to be for our sins, was that everybody would know he's risen, he's alive. Death couldn't keep him in the ground, and the devil couldn't keep these two dead. Hallelujah. And what are you afraid of? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, if that don't excite you, I don't know what will. And it says, and they went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies looked on. Let me tell you something. Somebody asked me a question. They said, what's the world going to be thinking after the rapture? I'll tell you what the world is going to be thinking. The New Age movement is already spreading a tale that there's going to be a great event in which Christians are going to disappear from the earth, and then there will be peace. So the devil is already, listen now, the devil is already sowing the seeds of deceit and deception, so that when we disappear, people are going to think we ran off and hid somewhere just to prove that what the scripture said was true. And they won't believe it, because the devil will allow them to be deceived and believe a lie. And they think we're hiding somewhere just to prove that the scriptures about the rapture are true. And when the 144,000 disappear, they say they're hiding somewhere, just to make it seem like God took them. But when the two get ready to go, everybody will be watching. They know they're not hid, because yon they go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. On the fourth day, before the end of the 7 years called tribulation, the divine protection, I said, is removed. The two witnesses are killed, but this is for a further demonstration of God's power. People all over the world watching the event, exchanging presents as they formerly did at Christmas, rejoicing, yes, CNN, ABC, XYZ, whatever kind of channel. And now, by that time, they got all those channels they're talking about is going to be on the information highway, 900 channels. Everybody, every eye shall see them. All right? And God quickens them by his spirit, catches them up in front of the whole world. And verse 13 says, and at that very hour there was a severe earthquake and a tenth of the city collapsed. 7,000 people killed in the earthquake, and the survivors were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. Hallelujah. Look at the 14th verse. The second woe is past, and the third woe is coming soon. Lord, have mercy. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your saints, and those who reverence your name, both small and great. And for destroying those who destroy the earth. Then God's temple in heaven was open. John sees this. You remember back in the days where God told Moses, build the tabernacle after the pattern that I will show you, according to the pattern of the real one? Now John sees the real one. All right. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the ark of his covenant. And there came flashes of lightnings and rumblings and peals of thunder and earthquake and a great hailstorm. All right? So the seventh angel sounds, and John sees all this. And these 24 elders acknowledge that God has assumed complete power despite the rage and the resistance of the nations. I want you to turn, glory to God, to Psalm, the second Psalm. And you're going to see that the Holy Ghost showed this to David way back all these years before even Christ. Because David said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Are you there, Psalm 2? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. And then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Isn't that what happened in Revelation there? Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. This is God talking to the son. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Then he says, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. If there is anything more descriptive of this period of time, I don't know what is. The heathen rage And the people imagine a vain thing. What vain thing did they imagine? That they could control this planet and run things and do what they wanted to do, and God was just going to let it go on forever. That's a vain imagination. Amen? All right. How appropriate is this psalm? As this great and notable day approaches, all the testimonies of God indeed are yea and amen. I want you to turn to the book of Joel in the Old Testament. At the end of the Old Testament, we come to just before Amos is Joel. And I'm going to look at the third chapter. And I want to talk to you about the gathering. Everybody there? I'm in the New International. It says in verses, the first two verses, in those days and at that time when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will enter into judgment against them concerning my inheritance, my people Israel. For they scattered my people among the nations. They divided up my land. They cast lots for my people and traded boys for prostitutes and sold girls for wine that they might drink. All right? God says, I will gather them. I'm going to bring them to the valley of Jehoshaphat. This valley, this battlefield, will stretch from Megiddo on the north. Those of you who went to Israel with us know we were on the plains of Megiddo. It will stretch from Megiddo on the north to Edom in the south. Edom is present-day Jordan. From the Mediterranean on the west, which is the Mediterranean Sea, to the mountains of Moab on the east. It will include the valley of Jehoshaphat, which Joel talks about. It will include the plains of Esdraelon. And at the center will be the prize, Jerusalem, the holy city. And into this area will pour the armies of the Antichrist, which no number is given us in the scripture. But the armies of the Orient will come pouring over the dried riverbed of the Euphrates, and pouring into the area of Palestine. This will be the great wine press that is spoken of in the scripture, into which will be poured the fierceness of the wrath of God. Now, I wish to reiterate here at this point, because I know there's some goody-goody folks out there that are saying, oh, I think it's so terrible that the Lord would do that to all of these people. Isn't he going to give them a chance? He gave them 99-11 chances. There's been 2,000 years of church. Amen? The 144,000 have witnessed all over the world. The message has gone forth at a time when technology was at its absolute maximum. This message has gone forth at a time when tribal people in the most backward nations of the earth have transistors and have battery-powered TV. The message has gone forth at a time when it was possible for everybody on earth to hear at the same time. And they still resisted the message. So what you have left by this time, by the last day of this 7-year period, is a group of people who have made up their mind they don't want God. They have also decided, this Antichrist person, that he's going to control the planet. But the interesting thing about it is that you know he's not controlling the planet, or there wouldn't be any 200 million man army coming from the east to oppose him. So this is for the control of the planet. And whoever wins this wins the prize, Jerusalem. Did it ever seem odd to you that here's this whole world, I mean North America, South America, Europe, Asia, And all of the wonderful cities and all of the resources of this whole planet. And it seems that everybody wants Jerusalem. Isn't that odd? What's in Jerusalem? Is there any oil there? No. Is there any gold there? No. What's in there? It's a rock. It's a plateau. A flat plateau of the mountain range called Moriah. What's there? Nothing. Except God chose that place and the devil wants it. And that's what it's all about. Amen? That's what it's all about. All right, let's go to Revelation 16. In Revelation 16, now we begin to see things happen. Drop down to verse 13. Verse 12 said, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." And verse 13 says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, which is the devil, and out of the mouth of the beast, which is the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet," which is the religious leader who is in charge of all the religions of the earth. You got that? Who that is? "For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." So the reason why these armies are coming there is because these three unclean spirits have motivated them to be there. The devil, Antichrist, the false prophet have motivated them to come to this place. You listening? "And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." So it's no accident that the nations are gathered together at Armageddon. It is God who has called them there, and these three spirits have called them there. It was God who called Russia and her satellites to this very area when they attacked Jerusalem, and God fought on their behalf, and they were destroyed. So it's Satan who ultimately must respond to the sovereign will of God. I want you to understand that. Everybody say, it is Satan who must ultimately respond to the sovereign will of God. I want to get that home to you. He cannot do anything he wants to do. Everything he will do is by design. God has allowed it to happen this way for God's purposes. Not his. Amen? So when we got into this series, I told you this was not about fear. It was about Jesus Christ, past, present, and future. And the plans of God for this planet. Not the plans of the devil. All right? Now, go back to Joel, if you will. I should have told you to keep your place there in Joel 3. And let's read on. Joel 3, this time I'm at verse 9. The prophet says, "Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Rouse the warriors. Let all the fighting men draw near and attack. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weaklings say, 'I am strong.' Come quickly, all you nations from every side, and assemble there. Bring down your warriors, O Lord. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come trample the grapes, for the winepress is full and the vats overflow. So great is their wickedness. Multitudes, multitudes, in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will be darkened, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel." Now, just as an aside, I want to say this. The Valley of Decision is to be the Valley of Esdraelon, like I said, which is a valley that's 20 miles long. It's 14 miles wide. It's situated just north and west of Jerusalem. Between it and the Mediterranean Sea, and the northern end is the plain of Megiddo, like I said. Interestingly enough, it was in this general area that Deborah and Barak defeated the Canaanites in Judges 4 and 5. Put that down there. You can read it at some other time. Judges 4 and 5. The same place. It was here that Gideon defeated the Midianites. Judges 7. Here, the Philistines defeated and killed King Saul. 1 Samuel 21. Same area. It was here that David defeated Goliath. Same area. So without a doubt, this is and has been the Valley of Decision. Would you say amen? Now we come to the contest for the planet. In Revelation 14, verse number 14, John says, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the clouds thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city meaning Jerusalem, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horse bridles." You know how high a horse bridle is? "By the space of 1,600 furlongs." Now, I can't imagine that scene. Blood as high as the horse's bridle. But you have to figure, if the 200 million man army was crowding into this area coming from the east, I would have to assume that the Antichrist army was of a similar size. So you may have had 400 million, or almost a half million, Yeah, 400 million, almost 500 million people crowded into this one area. The armies of Antichrist and the armies of the Orient gathered together in one place now begin to experience the wrath of God. Remember this now, they're coming to meet each other on the battlefield for the control of the planet. They don't know what God is going to do. We know what God is going to do because we're reading it here. These Bibles are gone. They've long since been destroyed. The Antichrist and the false prophet have preached their own gospel. False religions of the world have been dominant until they were destroyed. Now the only religion in the earth is worship the Antichrist. I don't know what religion the kings of the east have, but they're coming to take control of the planet. You listening? All right. Turn back to Zechariah, the 14th chapter. You might make a note somewhere that after the book of Isaiah, the rest of the Old Testament is almost exclusively dedicated to the fate of Israel. Joel, Amos, Micah. And so it is true of this book, Zechariah. It talks about in chapter number 14. Jerusalem's restoration, and it's talking about Jerusalem and the nations. Now, this is an interesting passage of Scripture, Zechariah, verse number 3. Zechariah 14, verse number 3. Well, let's read from verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst, or divide in half, thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee. The ye is talking about is Israel, because Zechariah is prophesying to Israel. You listening? And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them to the former sea, and half of them to the Hindu Sea. The former sea is the Mediterranean, the Hindu Sea is the Dead Sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. The great and notable day is the day that Jesus, when the Antichrist thinks that he is about to battle the kings of the east for the control of the planet, God steps in. And that's what this is. The great and notable day is not just Armageddon. It's the same day that Jesus Christ, God tells Jesus, get up and take the saints and go and straighten this thing out. Amen. At midday on the last day, immediately after the two witnesses have been raptured and the violent earthquake and the hail began, this eerie light settles both where it's supposed to be day and where it's supposed to be night. And in verse number, did I read verse 12? Verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holds, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. In other words, the 200 million man army starts fighting with each other, the Antichrist army starts fighting with each other, and everybody starts fighting with everybody. Well, that's not new. You remember in the Old Testament, God, it said that God would, well, what's the word it uses in the Old Testament? God would cause derision among the ranks of the enemies of Israel. This is what he's going to do. Amen. 14. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. In other words, everything that's got blood in it is just going to just consume away. Now you can see why the blood is going to be up to the horse's bridle. You got that? All right. A plague is going to consume the flesh away from the invaders, causing this great flow of blood. Let's go back to the 16th chapter. You're not sure you want to read the rest of this, are you? This is the Bible. And by the way, don't go out and witness to anybody and use these scriptures. Tell them about the love of God. We don't want anybody to come because they're scared to death. We want them to come because the Spirit of God draws them into the kingdom. Amen? But nevertheless, this is what's going to happen to those who refuse to obey God. We're at chapter 16 and we're at verse 60. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations, not a few of them, the cities of the nations fell, every city. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island, you know any islands? Manhattan, name a few. Manhattan, Long Island, Staten Island, City Island, Rhode Island, the whole Caribbean, the entire Caribbean. You see this? And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Name a few. The Rocky Mountains, the Himalayas. All of the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. In my margin it says about 130 pounds. And men listen to this, this is what got me. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. At this point in time, they're still blaspheming God. Now, can you imagine every island disappearing? No, you can't. Every mountain range in the world crumbling? You can't. 100-pound, 130-pound hailstones bombarding the earth and the workers of iniquity? Go to Revelation, the 19th chapter. John says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments." Everybody say, "True and righteous,
true and righteous
are his judgments."
Are his judgments.
Say it again.
True and righteous.
"For he hath judged the great whore." That's, you know who that is. That's the false religion. "Which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." Because it will have been this religion over the seven Gentile empires that will have martyred the saints. "And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures," or the four beasts, "fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia." They said, "Alleluia, for the Lord our God, the Almighty." They said, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell, this is John, and I fell at his feet to worship him. John fell at his feet to worship this messenger. And the messenger said unto him, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When you testify about Jesus, you are prophesying. Did you hear me? The testimony of Jesus is done in the spirit of prophecy. All right? Go down to verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Oh, my goodness gracious. So isn't this interesting? The marriage supper of the Lamb, what a surprise. Turns out to be not a sumptuous 7-year banquet in heaven as we await the end of the tribulation period. It is a call to the ravenous fowl of the air to devour the flesh of the ungodly. And then we come to that great and notable day. Go back to Revelation 1. Read verse 7 out loud. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. You know what the clouds are? You know who the clouds are? Know what the clouds are? John sees this picture, and he can't tell how many it is. There's so many. It just look. They all, now remember, they're all dressed in white. They're all dressed in white, which is the with righteousness of God, right? And when he looks and sees this scene, the only way he can describe it, he cometh with clouds. Hallelujah. And every eye shall see him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who are these people that he sees? He sees the church. We've been raptured. He sees the converts of the 144,000, they've been raptured. He sees the 144,000 themselves, they've been raptured. He sees the spirits of the martyrs that were killed during the last 3.5 years of tribulation, they are part of that party. He sees all of these coming. Hallelujah. Go back to verse 11. Glory to God. And John says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. Some of them were ours. Hallelujah. We had cast our crowns before him. And on his head were many crowns. Amen. His eyes were flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and the Word ascended back up to God, and now the Word is coming again, and his name is the Word of God. And the armies, glory to God, which were in heaven, followed him upon white horses. Every one of us with a white horse. I don't know whether it be a flesh and blood white horse or not. What do I care? I mean, if a horse can fly through the air, I don't care what kind of horse he is. I'm going to stay on him. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Who's he the king over? Us. We're kings. Lord of Lords. Who are the lords that he's lord over? Us. We are lords. We are kings and lords of the earth now. And we're coming to reign with him. You say amen. If this doesn't excite you, if you don't think that this revelation is a reason to be joyful, we're coming back to reign with him. Go to verse 19. Read it out loud. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Isn't that nerve? And it was a great war. It wasn't a war. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. Notice who he deceived. Notice who he had deceived. Those that received the mark, all right, of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. They were deceived. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. I told you before, I think he only said two words. I am. That's all he needed to say. I am. And when he said, I am, their flesh just fell off their bodies. They just consumed away in his presence, and he treads the fierceness of the wrath of God. Hallelujah. It's the day of the Lord. It's the second coming of Christ. We're with him. Hallelujah. Turn to Daniel 2. Daniel saw it. Daniel knew it. Hallelujah. And he left word so that we would know it. Daniel 2, he's interpreting the king's dream. You remember I told you about that? Verse 41, and he says, and whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. He's talking about the kingdom of the Antichrist. All right? And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Verse 44. And in the days of these kings, these 10 nations, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Verse number 45. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain. Everybody say, the dream is certain.
Dream is certain.
And the interpretation thereof sure. Say, the dream is certain.
Dream is certain.
And the interpretation sure.
And the interpretation sure.
What's certain and what's sure? That the stone cut out of the mountain, not by hand. You remember I gave you a key? What's a mountain when it doesn't name a mountain range? It's people. This stone cut out of the mountain that has no name
is Jesus who came from the root of Jesse and came through Judah. He came out of the people. Stone cut out of the mountain. Not by hand. Meaning he was born not of natural birth. Hallelujah. But he came from the people. Crushed the image. Notice what it says. Hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. It ground the image into powder. Amen. I want you to go to Daniel, the 9th chapter. And look at the 9th verse. Chapter 9. I'm not sure I had the right verse here. One second, I'll find it. This is a chapter where Daniel sees the Ancient of Days. Seven, verse 9. All right, you there? Look what it says. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. That means the thrones of these 10 kings and their 7 empires were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels or feet as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Notice this. 1,000,000s ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. You know who that 10,000 is? Us. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, which is the Antichrist. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to this burning flame. Remember we read that? We just read that? All right. As concerning the rest of the beasts, meaning these other nations, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. What does that mean? The nations were not destroyed. The nations went into the millennium, but they didn't have power. Christ had the power. You follow? Okay. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So Daniel knew that this was coming. Amen? Now, go to Matthew 24, because people get confused about Matthew 24. They don't know whether it's the rapture or the second coming or the second going, or they don't know what it is. Okay, let's look at Matthew 24. And remember, Jesus is speaking to the Jews. Matthew 24, verse number 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Does that sound like anything we've read in Revelation so far? And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see, did I tell you they see him? They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Notice verse number 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. The four winds on earth means that Christ is going to gather his elect that is still in the earth. You say, Pastor, who is that? It's the remnant of the nation of Israel that Christ has hidden away for 3.5 years, according to Revelation 12. You listening? Remember when we read that Christ was going to hide them because the Antichrist would be out to kill them for 3.5 years? This is the group that he says he shall gather from the four winds. And also, together with his elect from the four winds, and then it says from one end of heaven to the other. So that will be us. That will be the thousands upon thousands who are arrayed in white that are coming. You say, how do you know this? I'll show you in a minute. But go to verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Notice this. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. The ark for us would be the rapture, the escape, the salvation from the wrath of God to come. And he's saying, just like it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be again. The people will not be expecting what's getting ready to happen. When the rapture comes, the people will not expect it. They will not expect it. It says in verse 39, and knew not until the flood came. What's the flood? Destruction. And took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The second coming will be like that. Now notice verse number 40, because people have mistaken this for the rapture. This is talking about, you remember the scripture we just read about the angel came out of the temple and was instructed to put in his sickle and reap the earth? That means in death. Now notice this. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. What do they mean? One will be taken in death and the other left. Pay close attention to this now. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. You listening? Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. If we can use these analogies, this parable, this that Jesus gave, by the time the second coming of Christ comes, 50% of the earth's population will have been killed. One will be taken, the other left. One will be taken, the other left. One from two is one, right? Half of two is one. That's 50%, right? We can expect that with all the plagues and with all the hailstones and with all the earthquakes and with all the islands fleeing away and the mountains falling down, it'll be amazing that there's 50% left. But that's what's going to happen. Now, I told you that the elect gathered from the four winds is Israel gathered out of the nation. Now, I want to show you that. Turn to Isaiah 63. Israel gathered from her hiding place where God has hid her. I can't put my finger on the scripture right now, but the Bible says that Moab and Edom will escape the Antichrist's control. Moab and Edom is the present nation of Jordan. And people are predicting God is going to hide Israel in the city of Petra. And while that may not be true, I do believe that he will hide them in Moab and Edom, which is Jordan. And somebody will say, how can you hide somebody in a place that has already been previously announced? Very easy. If a nuclear war takes place and radiation settles in this area, nobody will want to go in there. And God is able to protect his people inside of that area and nobody else come near it for 3.5 years. Did he protect Israel in Egypt when all the plagues were falling all around them? Did he not protect them in Goshen? And you see, only a remnant is going to be saved. So we're not talking about zillions and zillions of people. We're talking about a remnant of Israel is going to be saved. And that's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans 11:25, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and then all Israel will be saved. Well, now remember, the 144,000 have ministered during the first 3.5 years, and a great number of them were saved. And because God keeps covenant to 1,000 generations, even though many have died, many that didn't believe, those that finally accept him as the Messiah and are looking for him, turn to Micah, the 7th chapter. Micah. Jonah, Micah. I say that so I can find it myself. Micah 7. You remember I read to you earlier in the series that Israel says, woe is me, for the good man has departed. And I said the rapture has taken place, and they knew that good men had departed out of the world. Look at verse number 7. After it goes through all this and says only terrible people are left. In verse number 7 it says, this is Israel speaking now. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. That's what Israel says. In the midst of all this, even though they've been forsaken and the good man has left and there's only a remnant of them left, they say, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Now go to Isaiah 63. Isaiah is predicting the day of the vengeance of God. And he says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? That's a city in Edom. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger. He's talking about the heathen. I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. Will there be any to help at that point in time with Israel? All the righteous people gone? Will there be any to help? No. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. This is a description of the second coming of Christ when Jesus comes back and rescues the remnant of the Jews that he has hidden away. You get that? And it corresponds with him treading the winepress of his wrath in the book of Revelation. You got that? So in addition to him coming with all the saints, he goes to find and restore the remnant of Israel that has been hidden for these 3.5 years from the threat of the Antichrist and leads them triumphantly back to Jerusalem. Why does he do that? He does it because all of the prophets from Isaiah on to the end of the Old Testament have prophesied the restoration of Zion. Well, when will Zion be restored? In the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, Israel, listen to me now, Israel will be established in the borders that God originally told her she would have. Where is that? God originally said that the border of Israel would be from the Euphrates. Where's the Euphrates now? The Euphrates starts in Turkey and runs down through Iraq. That would be her eastern border. And her western border would be the Nile River, which is in Egypt. that takes in half of Iraq, all of Jordan, all of Saudi Arabia, all of the Sinai Peninsula, and the eastern part of Egypt. All that portion of land has been given to Israel. You listening? And when shall they occupy it? During the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But I want you to remember now, the world is going into this 1,000-year reign of Christ with 50% of his population and just a remnant of Israel. But I want you to keep this in mind. During the 1,000-year reign, there will be no disease, no sickness, nothing but fruitfulness. What do you think is going to happen? I'll tell you in two words. Babies galore. So let me wind this up tonight. David foresaw this day in Psalm 2, why did the heathen rage and God was going to hold them in derision? Isaiah foresaw it. We just read how he went to Bozrah and Edom and got the remnant of Israel. Daniel saw it, all the prophecies of Daniel. Joel saw it. Zechariah prophesied of the day of the Lord. And finally, John declares with certainty that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. Praise the Lord. Now, on Sunday, I'm going to begin talking about the millennial reign of Christ. It's going to be fascinating because there is no period of history like it. There is no time in human existence that we can remember when there was no evil on the planet. Because from the time we all were conceived, evil was a part of our everyday life. Can you imagine a time when there's no thorns, there's no blight, there's no pollution, there's no murder, there's no negatives of any kind? Can you picture that in your mind? And I tell you what, there won't be any television. Because that's all that's on television. Almost all the books that you read will be gone. They'll have to be replaced by something else. And thank God, rap music will be gone. And most of the rest of the music that we listen to will be gone. But it will be replaced by things that are edifying and things that build you up. And we can't picture a scene like that. So you need to be here and begin to read about how Jesus Christ is going to run the planet. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let us pray.